From the Center for Distributed Learning at the University of Central Florida, I'm Tom Cavanaugh.
And I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And you're listening to TopCast, the Teaching Online Podcast. Welcome, Kelvin.
Why, thank you, Tom. Welcome to you, too.
So this is part two of a two-part, I assume two-part, maybe more if we have more to say, sequence on blended learning.
We can't let it go too long. I really got to leave and go to the bathroom. You can't keep me locked up in this room that long.
I think maybe we'll call it Son of Blended Learning or Blended Learning Strikes Back.
Why is it never Daughter of Blended Learning?
Maybe it should be.
Something.
Yeah, so part two. There's just a lot more to say about blended learning than we were able to cover last time. And the first question I want to know about part two is, what's in the thermos?
The same darn stuff.
It's the same question I always
have.
It
was in the thermos the last time we talked about
blended.
It's the same freaking coffee.
It was delicious.
It's a blend.
It's a blend, which makes sense. It's topical, yet appropriate.
So. I never thought about topical coffee. I mean, like if you have like a rash, you could pour the coffee on there and topical treatment there.
We'll try that when
you want
we're
some
done.
More coffee?
Maybe I will. I've finished my cup from part one. And so we're going to go with part de, son of.
What movie was that? It was like so and so part de.
Yeah, it was Top Gun, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
I think so. Not Top Gun. Hot Shots.
Hot Shots.
It was the spoof of Top Gun.
That's right.
That's what
part
I meant to
did.
Say.
That was going to bother me the whole time if I didn't.
I want to thank our producer for whispering in my ear.
That's right.
Because I misspoke. All right. So let's talk about blended learning because nobody's listening to this to hear us reminisce about funny 80s movies. The idea of blended learning we talked about last time was more at the conceptual level.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think maybe make some sense talking about this time is talking about the practice of blended learning.
Mm-hmm.
And as a way to kind of get into that, I want to tell a story. So the coffee is Storyville, right?
Yes.
So here's a story. Once
Ooh,
upon a
I
time,
like
there was a hospitality college at a large metropolitan research university in Orlando. And this hospitality college had a problem. And so in talking to the dean of this college, a certain online learning administrator discovered that they have a parking problem.
Huh.
A parking problem, you say? Because whenever I met with the dean, I would always ask, you know, what challenges, what strategic issues are you working on? What initiatives do you have? What's changed in the college? And what problems do you have that we could potentially align the Center for Distributed Learning's resources towards to help you solve? And he said, well, I don't know if you can solve it, but I got a parking problem. I'm like, well, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the hospitality college here, it's highly rated. Mm-hmm. They do a fantastic job.
Situated right in the midst of.
They are right in the middle
resort
of,
area.
Of all of the service and hospitality areas of Orlando. And they have not traditionally been embracing of online technologies. That's evolved over time. But this
probably was, because we should probably say because there's such a high touch
exactly,
field.
Exactly. Yes, they model customer service and they do role playing in class and
they pour wine for each
they
other.
They do. They drink wine in class and as much as I love online learning, it's really hard to drink wine through the computer. It's something something that has
keeps
to be
burning
done.
Out the motherboard.
That's
I don't
right.
can't figure out why
That's
I go through
right.
so many computers.
So they were sort of reluctant and a bit skeptical. And again, this was a few years ago. I'm not talking about recent past, but a few years ago. But so it's okay, parking, and you're not interested in fully online programs for pedagogical and ethos reasons. I understand that. But what about this thing called blended learning?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mixed mode, what we call here.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, they said, okay, we're willing to give that a shot to kind of experiment with it, which they did for this to solve this infrastructure problem that they have. And what they discovered over time as they started using it was that not only did the faculty kind of enjoy the pedagogical affordances that were inherent in blended learning, but the students liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And the students performed better and did other things and gave feedback to the faculty and administration about how much they liked it. To the point now where our hospitality college, which in headcount and student credit hours is maybe not as large as some of our other colleges, does as much blended learning as anybody in the university.
Yeah.
And they're doing more than 50% of their student credit hours every year online, and almost all of that is blended.
Mm-hmm.
It started as solving this logistical infrastructure problem, but as they began to appreciate the value of it as a pedagogical strategy, it just grew and grew and grew. Mm-hmm. And now they're about to do a number of online, completely online mm-hmm. programs. So that, I think, is a testament to what we're really going to talk about today, which is blended learning practice mm-hmm. and how that can kind of change things at an institution in a positive way.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you were telling me an anecdote mm-hmm. about how certain faculty come at the challenge of blended learning course design. I wonder if you could share that.
Yeah, sure. And I guess to previously on TopCast, you know, to kind of reference back to the first episode in this series and this never-ending saga about blended learning on TopCast, we commented that the integration of face-to-face and online in blended learning is arguably the hardest design challenge, getting that right. And I think it's probably fair to say that a lot of folks think of blended learning as like a gateway drug, right? Like, okay, it's web enhancing. I'm just take my face-to-face class, and I'm just going to add some web to it, and that'll be...
I still get to see their faces in class.
That's right. Yeah. And that'll be blended. And so I think that's... Maybe that could work for somebody, but I think that has some limiting features to it. I've often given the advice that you're better off conceptualizing a blended course as a fully online class that you're face-to-face enhancing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my mantra. And I was having this conversation. I made that statement to one of our faculty colleagues here at UCF a few years ago. And she kind of took that in. She looked at me and she nodded. And she said, yeah, I think that's right. And she said, you know, she had taught online for a long time, but that she had not really done blended until more recently. And she said, you know, she got really kind of thoughtful about it. She said, when I first taught blended, she might have said mixed mode, I approached it like having an online filing cabinet for my face-to-face class.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so evocative. I love that imagery because I'm like, I've seen those classes.
Yeah,
I've seen them.
Yeah.
Not here. Other places. And I said, okay. And she said, and it didn't work all that well. You know, but then over time, as I practiced it, that's why they call it practice, as I practiced it, I've come to see that I'm better off thinking of this as an online class with strategic face-to-face workshops. And I love that,
yeah.
The framing, online filing cabinet versus strategic face-to-face workshops. Just the purposefulness is just so well articulated there.
And I've heard other anecdotes from our instructional design team and others here. Maybe it was you. It could be.
I say a lot of stuff.
Some faculty, a particular faculty member had described the lens through which he was looking, I think it was a he, the blended class as being not so much, and it's very consistent with what you just described, mm-hmm. Not being a web-enhanced face-to-face mm-hmm. class, but a face-to-face enhanced web class.
Yeah.
And once you flip your perspective mm-hmm. that way, mm-hmm. I'm not converting my face-to-face mm-hmm. class to blended.
Yeah.
I'm creating this new thing that privileges both modalities equally, mm-hmm. then it's a whole different ballgame on how you design your class.
Yeah, I think so.
Because the big risks, and I think we alluded to this a little bit in the last part one mm-hmm. of the podcast, mm-hmm. Is that if you don't do it right, there are the possibilities of doing some really bad practices. And some examples of these mm-hmm. are... The course and a half phenomenon.
What's that?
Yes. What is that, Tom? It's where you've got your face-to-face class. If you're approaching this as I'm going to web enhance my mm-hmm. face-to-face class, you don't change anything about your face-to-face class, and all you do is add stuff to the online component. And now all of a sudden your students are doing 50% more mm-hmm. work in the class, and it's poorly designed.
Yeah.
The other big challenge is something that you described in the last podcast, which is... a case where you just replicate the same objectives mm-hmm. or the same content in both modalities, and you don't give any thought to how they interact with each other yeah. and how to take advantage of the affordances of one modality versus the other.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important when you're working with faculty and you're trying to impact practice to really spend the time on faculty development. It's not simply here's your LMS shell, go do half your class online.
No, I think that's well said. No, that's exactly, I think that's exactly right. I tend to lump that under overcompensation. There is a little bit of, I don't know what kind of a issue it is, a values issue, a belief issue on the part of the individual designing instructor that says, okay, yeah, whatever, mm-hmm. online, blended learning, I just don't quite buy it. Because then on a foot on the ground level, yeah, I still have to do X, Y, and Z face-to-face.
Right.
You know, and so that's how you get into this you can't have more than 100%, but apparently
you can.
You can.
Yes, if it's a stretchy bag, yes, you can stuff more in.
Yeah. You know, whatever students will tolerate, and turns out they'll tolerate a lot when their grades are on the line.
But there are ways that we can help faculty, and we try to here.
That's right.
Different strategies, mm-hmm. different sort of models that you can use to design that integration back and forth. And one that you're more familiar with than mm-hmm. I am, and I know it's covered in the BlendKit MOOC that we've taught, mm-hmm. That you've actually taught, facilitated, mm-hmm. Is this idea of a mix map. Where you, as part of the course design process, map out the mixture of modalities, the content's going to be covered in each way, and actually articulate how one integrates with the other.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And it's deceptively simple, right? I think the title's very evocative. I mean, I've always liked it. You know, mix map.
Mix map.
Of course, I came up with it, but that's another whole thing. It's just a simple Venn diagram, and I think maybe the concept might have originated with our colleague Linda Futch. You know, we've talked before about, okay, just a place to start with is, well, what do you do really, really well face-to-face, let's say, mm-hmm. or really, really, really well online, or what has to be done online? What has to be done face-to-face? And if you imagine a Venn diagram where, you know, one circle is face-to-face, the other's online, and then there's this intersecting part, and you begin to plot these elements, and the elements can be, you know, whatever you want them to be. You know, we make some suggestions, but be as concrete as you can. And it's an iterative process. What you see with some course designers, some faculty, is the face-to-face becomes very lopsided, right? There's everything's face-to-face and there's hardly anything online.
Yeah. Oh,
online quizzes.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Or here's my
syllabus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here's my syllabus online. Yeah. And then you can have like this conversation that says, well, you know, how could we perhaps balance that a little bit? And then the real sweet spot, quite literally, is that intersection between the two circles that really are shared. Mm-hmm. And are there affordances for certain activities or content, interactions, assessments that can truly exist in both realms somehow? Because that's the glue that will hold it all together. And so early in the design process, to have an instructor think that through and get out of their own head and put it on paper, so to speak, even if it's on mm-hmm. pixels on a computer screen, is very, very powerful. And then more recently, our colleagues at Oregon State University, particularly Cub Con, there as part of their hybrid initiative, they call it hybrid because mm-hmm. they're innovative.
Yep, hybrid. That's another one of those terms.
That's right. Yeah. But as part of their hybrid initiative, Cub put together a table that we've adapted and put back into the BlendKit course materials that we call an integration chart, and it kind of builds on that early work in the Venn diagram and kind of delineates out kind of learning objectives and then and particular course components, interaction, assessment, whatever, and then what's happening face-to-face, what's happening online, how does that get supported. And it just picks up and carries on. Those kind of design tools, very helpful at making this stuff real for folks.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been asked the question, so which modality should I put my discussions in?
Yeah. Right.
Should I do the discussions online or should I do them face-to-face?
Right.
And the answer is never what they want to hear, because it depends.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on a lot of things. What are your objectives?
Mm-hmm.
What is your own personal pedagogical style? You know,
that's right.
There are advantages and disadvantages to doing it both ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to use that one question as an example.
Yep.
You could put them online because you want to make sure everybody is included.
Yep.
And you want everybody, because you're going to be doing project work in the classroom.
Yep.
Or maybe you're going to be lecturing on a particular topic in the classroom that requires a lecture. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it makes sense to have the discussions in class, mm-hmm. Have everybody watch the online videos mm-hmm. before they come to class, and then be prepared to discuss some current event topic or something. Online, you can ensure everybody participates. In the classroom, especially as you get larger classrooms, it's really hard to ensure that everybody participates. It depends what you want to do, what your objective is, and what your style is, and there's no right answer. Mm-hmm. The only answer is you have to think about it. You
yes.
have to think about what your strategy is so that you're not doing it ineffectively.
Yes. No, that's excellent. I think that's a very good lived out example of the mix map, just taking that one design element, mm-hmm. Discussion, you know, student-to-student interaction, and figuring out where you're going to plot it. Is on, you know, the one circle or the other circle. I'll take you one further and say it's even possible, this is more nuanced, but it's even possible for the discussion to live in that intersection between the two.
Sure.
You know, you start with an online discussion, and then if you are a very motivated instructor, you could come face-to-face then, and you reference that online discussion, mm-hmm. and you pick up salient points out of that discussion and say, I would like now to kind of iterate and sort of spin this into a prompt that I want you guys to have small group discussions on or whole group discussion on, and make a bridge into, say, some project work or something. When you could just, I get excited, right? If that works really well, that's amazing.
Sure.
Stuff.
Yeah. And I've heard cases where, you know, maybe you use the discussion as a midterm review or something, and let the students drive what topics are the ones that they're struggling mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. So then the faculty member doesn't prepare the lecture for the face-to-face classroom until yeah. they see what's happened online. Because why cover something if everybody understands it? Let's focus right. on what everybody's having a struggle with. But that only comes out in the online component where everybody has a voice, or maybe you do some sort of a survey online or something mm-hmm. to kind of understand. That's the online modality informing what actually happens in the next face-to-face class period.
Yes. And there's a radical concept.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's that phrase we used last time, pedagogically responsive, right? That's one of the great affordances of blended learning. It might be worth a point, though. You mentioned this in the previous episode, but to pick back up on it, institutions vary, individual colleges, goodness, individual departments, you know, individual programs vary in the degree to which latitude is granted instructors with regard to when those class meetings are
right.
in a blended environment. Some here, I look at UCF as a microcosm of the whole, and we have particular programs where, okay, Tom, you're teaching a blended course. Your face-to-face meetings are going to be in that room on January 7th, yeah. February 23rd, April 15th, and you just figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, how are you going to make that work? And there's other places. Well, when would you like to meet?
Right.
Just let us know.
Yeah.
You know, or you guys are going to share, you work out your schedule. And depending on how that's set up at the beginning, that has major implications for course design.
It does. And as much as we're saying about course design, there are other factors that come into this that actually will inform practice at the end of the day. So I think you give a good example there. So when I get asked what should be online and mm-hmm. what should be face-to-face, it's not always faculty asking me. Sometimes
no.
it's deans or
I
somebody asking me. Because, you know, you don't want shenanigans, not that it's ever...
Shenanigans.
Yeah, even inadvertent shenanigans, you know, misunderstandings.
It's a good band name, inadvertent shenanigans.
you want to be upfront and transparent with students about what they're signing up for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and it's not nefarious. It's just sometimes
nefarious inadvertent shenanigans.
If you don't define it, people don't know. So one of the questions I get is, you know, how much should be online or how should it be scheduled? And
mm-hmm.
what we always tell faculty, or what I'd say when I'm asked this kind of a question, is in a perfect world, we say the content should dictate the treatment. always. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If it means that you you show up in person for the first 3 weeks of the term and then you do online for 2 weeks and then you meet every other week mm-hmm, or whatever, mm-hmm. fine. But in the real world mm-hmm. where we do not have enough classroom space mm-hmm, on this campus, mm-hmm. that that is really hard to justify
yeah.
because you end up with a classroom that is sitting vacant for a yeah. good chunk of the semester in a on an uneven schedule.
Yep.
So what happens more often than not is, yes, let the content dictate the treatment within these constraints.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be, Kelvin, you're teaching from 2 to 3:30 on Tuesday, and I've got the same block on Thursday, and we have to make our course work in that environment. Plus, students know what they're signing up for when you can define it for them that way. And that's always it's always good to be upfront and transparent with students.
No, that's good. In fact, I want to underscore that. You've said it a couple times now, but the idea of students being clear about what is meant by a blended course. Ideally, blended is addressed institutionally, and students right. know that. But even down to the course syllabus, right, it should be really prominent that this is a blended course. And what does that mean to you as a student?
Mm-hmm.
Should be really crystal clear. But yes, I think the cool thing here about blended learning is, yes, it can be the best of both worlds, face-to-face and online. But sometimes it can be the best of both worlds as you play the hand that you're dealt mm-hmm. as a designing faculty member. You know, if you've been told, here's your class meeting times, go figure this out. Okay, you can make it work. That's not the end of the end
right,
of the world.
Right.
But sometimes you have the latitude of making some decisions yourself about how often those class meeting times are. And I love another quote from our colleague Dylan Barth at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. When he teaches English composition, he said that, I like to meet more often when stress levels are higher for students.
Like pre-midterm,
yes.
pre-final, yeah.
Or getting ready for a project, major yeah, project, that yeah. kind of thing. And so he early on, there's some meeting times, and then maybe it drops off, and then there's maybe a couple of back-to-back times, and then it, you know? And so, again, that's harder to make space resource usage at mm-hmm. a systemic level. But if you have the latitude, that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, bottom line, students, if I'll circle back to how we started this,
yep.
we'll end it the same way, which is that at least in our hospitality college, and I think that's illustrative of, mm-hmm. of a larger trend, is that, okay, they started it for a very practical reason.
Mm-hmm. Parking.
Parking, yeah. I mean, what gets more practical than
There's
that?
A paper in here somewhere, Tom. Parking and printing, gateways to online and blended learning.
Whatever it takes.
That's right.
Over time, it was the pedagogy
yes.
and the affordances, the advantages, the benefits of it that made it grow mm-hmm. and scale. And so, if people are interested in learning more about blended learning, I would point them at our blended learning toolkit, mm-hmm. blendedlearningtoolkit.org. Mm-hmm. And there are a whole bunch of free and open resources there, including archive materials from the BlendKit MOOC.
Yep.
Check it out. It's all open Creative Commons stuff. So maybe that's a good place to wrap it up.
That's a good place to wrap it up, Tom.
So until next time, for TopCast, I'm Tom.
I'm Kelvin.
See ya.